إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, on the subject of implementing the changes that inshallah we hope to bring about in our lives after Ramadan, I want to share with you another management tool that we can use. And that is a tool that's called force field analysis. What we do in this tool is we look at two kinds of forces. Depending on the goal we want to achieve, we look at the two kinds of forces. Forces in favor of that goal, forces which will facilitate the achievement of that goal, forces that will help us to achieve that goal, and the opposite, forces that can prevent, and potentially forces which will stop the achievement of that goal, difficulties and so on. So this analysis is called force field analysis. What are the two force fields that affect any situation? And this can be applied across the board to anything, and inshallah we therefore want to apply it to our post-Ramadan resolutions, inshallah. So say, for example, you make a resolution to say that inshallah, now that you understand the benefit of Qiyamul Layl, of Tahajjud, that inshallah, we make this niyyah that we will pray Tahajjud every single day of our lives, inshallah, until the last day, inshallah, yes? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you make this niyyah, to when our time to go, when it is our time to go, to take us in that stage, in that state of Tahajjud, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the state of sujood, inshallah. So now you make this niyyah. So what are the two forces? What will help us to pray Tahajjud, and what are the things that can prevent us or prevent this from happening? So the way we draw the map is we take a sheet of paper, we draw a line across the middle, and we put some arrows pointing upwards at the bottom, and we put some arrows pointing downwards from the top. The arrows pointing upwards are the positive forces, and the arrows pointing downwards are the negative forces. Now, in force field analysis, one principle is that it is more critical and more useful and more beneficial to remove as many negative forces as possible rather than strengthening positive forces without removing negative forces. The example I usually give to explain this is, I say that if you put water into a jar, right? Imagine a big barrel or a big tall jar which has water. Now, if you punch a couple of holes in the bottom of the jar on the side, the water in the jar will flow out of those holes at a certain rate. Now, you see the level of water dropping in the jar. So instead of plugging the holes first, if you simply put a hose on the top and you fill the jar with pressure, what will happen to the force with which water is coming out? Will it decrease, increase, or what? It will increase. So actually, the harmful effect becomes more. The more water you pour into the jar, the faster the water will come out, because the more pressure on the water column, the more faster the water will come out. So there is no sense in strengthening the positive forces alone. You have to take care of the negative forces. And if you plug the holes in the jar, then the loss immediately stops. Then whatever else you put into the jar will stay there. We apply the same process, for example, in analyzing companies which are facing financial crisis, to see how much of that financial crisis is the result of their own financial mismanagement. So I call these holy companies, companies which are full of holes. So unless you plug those holes, your company will never become an unholy company. The companies must be unholy, they should not be holy. So same issues. If you, instead of plugging the holes, instead of taking care of your financial mismanagement, where are the leaks in the company? Where is your money going? And you don't know. Most of the time you have no clue. A lot of money goes in unaccounted things. There's no account for it. If you look at your P&L statement, you won't find that there. but money is going. So, and that kind of bleeding, which is like for a human being, it's like internal bleeding. You know, if you've got a peptic ulcer, you're bleeding inside. It doesn't show anywhere, but your health deteriorates. So, many examples. The point I'm making here is that in force field analysis, we look at these negative forces. So, now to bring it and apply it to tahajjud, how would you apply force field analysis to tahajjud? We look at the negative forces which prevent us from waking up for tahajjud. Number one negative force is sleeping late. Absolutely, without a doubt, number one negative force which prevents us from waking for tahajjud, and may Allah protect us sometimes even for fajr, is sleeping late. If you sleep at whatever time, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, there's no, you know, even if you sleep at 1 o'clock, you are never going to wake for tahajjud. This is no matter what you do, right? So, number one negative force to remove is to remove the sleeping late business. Whatever it is that you are doing late in the night, find a way of doing it earlier so that you can compensate. And that time, the best time for sleep is between 10 and 1 in the night. Or say between 10 and 3, to give you at least 5 hours of sleep. Between 10 and 3, this is the best time for sleep. You get the most restful sleep. And you can feel it for yourself. If you sleep at 10, and if you are used to sleeping late, you might say, well, at 10 o'clock, I don't feel sleepy. No problem. Do it for a couple of days. Lie in bed, make zikr. Shaitan will make sure that you go to sleep because you're making zikr. So, sleep at 10. And you find when you wake up at 3 o'clock, you will wake up fresh. You will not wake up drowsy and whatnot. And you are good for the whole day. So, between 10 and 3 is when you are asleep. So, first negative force to remove is late sleeping. That's number one problem with tahajjud. Second one is obviously negative force is, you know, I mean, that's a more tool thing. You set an alarm clock, set 2 alarm clocks, you know, put one in the corner of the room, so you have to get up to turn it off or something. I'm sure you can figure out many ways of ensuring that you actually, you know, respond to that alarm. So, this is the second thing. And then, of course, you might have others in your lives. I don't want to make a whole list of things. Just to give you an idea of what do I mean by negative forces. Then, strengthen them. Once this is taken care of, then strengthen the positive force. What is the biggest positive force with respect to tahajjud? Is to read about the fadail of tahajjud. What is so great about this salah? Why must I pray tahajjud? What will I get if I pray tahajjud? How is it different from any other salah? So, when you read all this, some acquisition of some basic knowledge, and I think I've mentioned all of these things so many times, I don't want to repeat that. So, once we know the benefit of tahajjud, that's the strengthening force. So, negative force you have removed, which is physically now you are in a state where you can wake up, and positive force is that you now know the benefit of tahajjud, then inshallah, you will wake up for tahajjud and you will pray. And then of course, like with anything else, once you taste it, the sweetness of it, then inshallah that itself will be the biggest draw, which will ensure that you pray tahajjud every day, because now you pray it and you know the beauty of it. Oh, like eating something. Unless you eat it, you don't know the taste. So you have to eat it. But to bring yourself to the place to eat it, you have to make some effort. So force field analysis with regard to your post Ramadan resolutions, and apply this to everything, whatever else, whatever that you are doing. Many people, we find that in Ramadan, they don't shave their beards. They keep their beard. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this permanent, because the beard is for your whole life. The beard is not only in Ramadan. Anyone who keeps a beard only in Ramadan and shaves it on Eid is an absolute hypocrite and a munafiq, because he's trying to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please understand, this is serious business. If it is wrong, it is wrong. It doesn't become wrong in Ramadan and right after Ramadan. There are some people, I actually know, may Allah protect us from such people. I actually know some people who stopped drinking alcohol in Ramadan. Muslims. Hum Ramadan mein sharab nahi peete sahab. Toh sir, Ramadan ke baad halal ho jata sir. I mean, imagine, this is absolute insanity. Same thing applies. If something is wrong, then it is wrong in Ramadan, out of Ramadan. If something is right, then it is right anytime. So don't try to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by keeping your beard in Ramadan and then on the day of Eid or one day before that, you shave your beard. Very, very sad situation. Many, many people do this. Many people do this, and please don't fall into that trap. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the tawfiq and you are following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then ensure that you stick to that, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you in keeping with His majesty and grace, and to bring the noor of His, of the sunnah of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your lives. So make sure you do that. So all these whatever good things you are doing, praying in the masjid, for example, you see a lot of all the masajid, all through Ramadan, masjid is abad, has a lot of people. Now, how do we continue that? How can we ensure that not a single person is less in the masjid after Ramadan? Again, same issues. Ramadan, what happens? How come in Fajr you have a big jamaat? For a lot of times it is because Fajr is, immediately after Suhoor. So you have woken up for Suhoor anyway. It's easy to go to the masjid. You go, you pray, and you go home. But Fard remains Fard. Masjid is still there after Ramadan, Suhoor or no Suhoor. So we have to ensure that even though there is no Suhoor, and that is one of the benefits of Tahajjud. Because if you pray Tahajjud, then you are waking up at the time normally when you wake for Suhoor. Right? So therefore you are awake already, and therefore if you pray Tahajjud regularly, then inshallah your Salatul Fard, Salatul Fajr in the masjid is also safe. By that one habit of praying Tahajjud, you are also doing the safety of your Fard Salah in the masjid. So my request is, let us try to do that. Make a list of all the good things that you plan to do, inshallah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you and to make it easy for you, and apply force field analysis to that. Analyze the potential problems that you might face and look for solutions for them. Remove those negative forces, and the positive forces, inshallah, strengthen them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us success. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.